A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and to bear arms shall not be infringed. That is the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. And that's what I'm going to discuss for the next few minutes on this Ram Radio, the webcast. Do I have a right to not only bear my arm, to keep my arm, and I don't mean the one that's connected to my body, but a firearm with bullets in it that will fire to protect myself against any act of terrorism against my person or my personal property or for anything that is dear to my life. Now, it matters not whether I'm a policeman, whether I'm a doctor, whether I'm a preacher, whether I'm a farmer, whether I'm a dirt road person that's unemployed. If I bought it and it's registered to me, I have a right to bear it. Now, that's what I'm going to discuss. Thank you for joining me for Ram Radio, the webcast. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles, California. Let me tell you something. Bearing arms. Do I have the right as a citizen to bear arms? Now, I feel sorry for the children. I feel real sorry for the parents and everybody else involved. But do I have the right to bear arms, to carry about a weapon? Now, I'm going to discuss this, and this will be the last time that I'll discuss it, because I'm just going by the Second Amendment. It's a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. In other words, you know what a free state is? A free state is a state where you have the right to own and to protect your family and property in this country. Now, in spite of the extensive recent discussion and much legislative action with respect to regulation of the purchase and the possession and the transportation of firearms, as well as these various proposals to substantially curtail ownership of firearms, there is no definitive resolution by the courts of just what right the Second Amendment protects. See, the opposing theories, perhaps oversimplified, are an individual rights thesis whereby individuals are protected in ownership, possession, and transportation, and a state's rights thesis whereby it is said that the purpose of the clause is to protect the state in their authority to maintain formal, organized militia units. Now. Whatever the amendment may mean, it is a bar only for federal action, not extending to the state or private or restraints. In other words, the Supreme Court has given effect to the dependent clause of the amendment in the only case in which it was tested as congressional enactment against the constitutional prohibition. What do all these words mean? Well, these are the words that's going to be spinning around in our heads for the next few months as we, the fine citizens of this country, parlay about this issue of guns and having guns. And you can read the Second Amendment all you want to, all the other amendments, and you're going to get all of this back and forth. You're going to be listening to Wolf Blitzer in the news media and all of that kind of stuff. And good luck. But let me share something with you as a person that lives in a major metropolitan city. I live in a major metropolitan city, Los Angeles, California. There are so many people in this town, so many ethnicities, I guess you can put it that way, so many people with various ethnic backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, educational backgrounds, understandings. And within that mixture of individuals that live in this city, cohabitate together, that bunk up, that make babies, that eat and defecate and continuously move and have their being, amongst all of these are a handful of mad people. And I mean a handful of mad people that will do you bodily harm. They will do you bodily harm. These individuals will hijack your car. I'm talking about people in the city that I live in. These people will hijack your car. They will rob you. They will rape your daughters. I'm just keeping it plain, real. I don't know any other way to handle it. I've told you on various webcasts how I used to follow the school bus and drop my girls off there and kind of like follow the school bus. I've always been paranoid of things happening to my children and now my grandchildren in this city. When I grew up in this city, I didn't have those fears because the moral decline had not steeped that low. But now the moral decline is at such a low rate that there is no help for our citizenry outside of God performing a miracle, helping keeping our families intact. And so I have to protect my family. I have to protect my home. I have to protect my person. I believe that there is a time coming in this country because we have fallen off in our moral duplicity. We have fallen off so poorly, so badly. Let me give you a good example of what I'm talking about. I was watching a movie last night. You know, it's Christmas time, right? And I, you know, was just trying to kind of figure out a little bit what I was going to do last night because I didn't want to stay home, but I did. And it was a Friday night, and it was cold outside, and I really didn't feel like getting out there doing anything, just to chill out. So a Christmas movie was put on by Terrence. He put on, at least I thought it was a Christmas movie. It was the weirdest thing that I've ever seen. It was an enactment, I think, of a play of... let me try to mention it to you because, you know, I tell you guys that I don't watch television and I don't know what's going on out there. But I know when I'm looking at a cartoon that has been a derivative from a Broadway play. And it was a Broadway play about a skinny demon who came from a world of demons, a world of Halloween. Maybe you remember the movie. And what he does is he, in some kind of a way, trips up in the world of Christmas. And he sees what this Christmas thing is with Santa Claus and everything. And Santa Claus giving the kids gifts and things like that. And it kind of like gave me a moral picture of what we've done to ourselves here in America. Watching this movie of this skinny demon. He was a demon. And I guess it was a love story of some sort. And I forget the director or the person that wrote it. Some of the people in the room mention his name. I had vaguely heard about his name. I guess he's a great actor. But what he did is this demon was pretending as Santa Claus. And instead of him handing out good gifts to the kids, he was handing them things that would destroy their minds and destroy their lives. I'm looking at the movie and I'm saying, wait, is this supposed to be a joke? Or is this real? Because I've never seen this thing. This thing came out and somebody told me 1993, something like that. And I said, do you know what that is? Do you know what the message that they're sending to the young people? I said, this is terrible. And I have to admit, I was outraged. I started to use my terrible language again. I just flew off the handle. I had never seen anything like this. See, in 1993, I'm busy pastoring a church. I'm not looking at stupid cartoons. What am I looking at that for? You know, they got these cartoons, The Grinch That Stole Christmas and all that kind of stuff. Christmas used to be a happy time for children. Would get one, maybe two, if they were lucky, gifts when I was a kid. If I got two gifts at Christmas time, more than one, and if I got three, I was in euphoria. I'm telling you, I was all over the place. okay? But I'm here to tell you guys that we live in a day. Look, Christmas doesn't have the same meaning that it had, because as that movie pointed out to me last night, that demons have come and taken over what used to be the best of intentions for our children, has turned our children into demon and Satan worshipers. The people in the room tried to tell me that I was wrong. Oh, no, you're wrong. You're just reading. And I got mad and hollered at them and told them to shut the Hades up. I said, in my house, don't tell me whether I'm wrong when I know what I'm looking at. I said, you people have been duped. You've been duped by the dark side. You've been duped by demon-possessed individuals who has now permeated our entire society with evil. That was an evil cartoon movie. I recall it when it first came out, because I said, what kind of a billboard is this with some kind of a crazy looking creature looking like that? I didn't pay attention because me, like most of Americans, had my eyes closed to what the enemy was doing. It doesn't take much for him to put things together, to erase decency from your children's mind, to totally eradicate it. The decency of who and what a person is has been erased by the evil, wicked connotations of individuals in our culture, in our society. And I am not going to call wicked good. That is wickedness. And this wickedness, and now they want to dehumanize you to the degree, because I'm not strictly sold on this one kid going in that school shooting up all those babies in the head. I'm not strictly sold on that. Because I have no confidence at all, none, in my government. And I know what my government is capable of doing. I'm not afraid of the government. I fear no one but God. I know that the government can kill me instantly. They can send a smart electric shock right down here on the top of my house. All they have to do is go to Google search and find out where I live, know that I'm in here doing these webcasts, and send a bomb right down, their vent here in my house, blow the house up and make it look like me and T was planting a dope factory here and blow us all to smithereens. I know that. The government can do that. But you know what? I don't want to be a threat to them. I'm just telling them that when they pass the law, because this is it, I can't stop the government from taking my gun. I can't. I know that it would start, man, come on, it's going to be firefights that you've never seen. And that's gonna cause everybody to, hey, man, might as well give the guns up because they got more guns than us. If that happens, this country is torn up. Do you hear me? That may be the downfall of it, because you know what these clowns are trying to do. They're trying to find, as Ron Emanuel said, one event that they can coattail everything else on and tear everything else up. You may be saying, John, why would people that are sworn to protect and serve its citizens do that? Wickedness. Just total wickedness. See, you can ask a frivolous, stupid question like that. What can cause somebody to do something like that? Wickedness in the lives and the hearts of many people will cause the demise of any good society. And that is what we're confronted with these days. So, the taking of the firearm, the Second Amendment, you have your Second Amendment constitutional rights to bear arms. That is it. Now, when the government, and if the government takes those rights away by enacting some law to repeal the Second Amendment, because that's what they would try to do, which states that a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Did you hear me? In order for a state to remain free, there has to be a well-regulated militia. And it is not a well-regulated militia if it is just the government walking around with guns and the citizens doesn't have guns. This is why. Listen to me, especially those of you that live in the city like me. If all hell breaks out in the city and you're an average citizen in the city and you don't have any firearms to protect your family, to protect your wives, your children, to protect your properties, I mean, to defend that property, and it's your constitutional right to defend it. You're a citizen of this country, born in this country. You're a tax-paying system member. You pay taxes to this government. You have a right to defend your family to the death. Now, when that right is taken away, meaning by the government, by using fear tactics on you, and I'm not going to go in and give you past history. We know that Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich did that. We know that certain other European countries have taken away. Like, let's look at Great Britain. Have you ever heard of a cop walk? Very recently, the cops were given guns because they weren't even allowed to carry guns around. How could a policeman stop crime if nobody had guns? Now, you just leave guns in the hands of criminals and cops. What do you have? You have a citizen that is left at the... You have the citizen that can be controlled by both of the parties, the cops and the crooks. What happens when the cops become crooks? Don't ask me a question like that. Look at Mexico. Look at the drug trade down there. I wouldn't go to that country. That would be the last country that I'd visit. I hear people talking about going to Tijuana. What the heck I want to go to Tijuana for? You go down there, you better take about $2,000 in cash strapped on your knee or something. Because every time a cop stops you, he's going to bribe you, blackmail you. You got to pay your way out of a traffic stop. I wouldn't go down to that country. They're lawless, man, please. And, well, that's something else. I'm working on my philosophy of religion formats now. I got a film to show them in the philosophy of religion. And when they see this film, oh my goodness, next semester we're going to have a great time in philosophy of religion. Oh yes, yes, yes. But anyhow, you have to think about what you're going to do. Because I know that when they come to take my gun, and if they come with force and say, hey, we know that you purchased a gun, we have it registered here, and we want that gun, and I'm just going to have to say, I don't have a gun to give you. What happened to the gun? Oh, God, I don't like lying. I don't want to lie. You see what I'm talking about? You see the trip bag that I'm put in as a believer? See? They, because I will feel totally defenseless. I'm going to be defenseless if they come and take my gun. That's what they're going to try to do. I didn't finish the scenario. I live in Los Angeles, right? I'm an African-American, right? I live in a mixed community of Hispanic-Americans and African-Americans. I'm in the minority. I used to be in the majority. When I moved on this block, I was a minority once. There were more whites on the block than blacks. When I moved here, then I moved here, then there were more blacks on the block than whites, and more blacks on the block than Hispanic. Now there's more Hispanics on the block than any of us. Now, if a race war breaks out in my part of town, and I don't have a gun, and all the Hispanics have some guns because they kept theirs, I'm just living and dying at the behest of a Hispanic that don't like a black. Even though I love my neighbors, I know I'm supposed to trust God, but I'm no fool. So I mean, this is a. I hope they don't get deep into this legislation about this stuff, because man, I'm telling you, that is some crazy stuff that we're talking right now. See, because nobody's going to want to give that up with no law and order, and if law and order has turned corrupt, and it has. You know, I recall after the shooting in Connecticut, Chief Beck of the LAPD came out. They had an explorer's graduation, And he was up there jerking tears out of his eyes, talking about, oh, we're going to protect the children in this city. Man, you can't protect the children, nothing. You got lunatics walking around. Any moment, somebody can place a crazy person in a school and put bombs and stuff in there and go off. And then, you know, they're going to try to push another drive to try to stop that. You got crazy people all over the place. Guns are not crazy. Weapons are not crazy. They don't kill anybody. People kill bodies. Who are the biggest killers today of people? Who are the biggest killers of bodies today? Is it the lone psychopath out there with his mama's pistols after he shot her in the head? No, maybe she knew too much. We don't know anything about this mess. And they're only going to tell you what they want to tell you. They aren't going to tell you. Some of you still believe that the Twin Towers fell because 12 Jordanians got a plane and flew it in there. Man, when you go to New York, you hear them talking around Manhattan about that. Do you ever look at the number of people that moved out of New York after that took place? Have you ever done the stats on that? Have you ever spoken with any of the firemen that were there in New York City when their buddies had ran up the stairs of that fail-safe situation? Did you ever talk with those firemen? You ever look in their eyes? You ever listen to them? Are you that stupid? You believe everything you see on Fox News and CNN? What? I didn't even believe that stupid behind cartoon I was looking at yesterday. I saw through that. Why would anybody try to mess up Santa Claus, huh? And looky here, they had this demon Santa Claus leaving demon toys in the basket of the children, terrorizing them. What do you think you're doing when your children watch those demonized video games? Oh, it's just a joke, right? You got an entire generation raised on working a toggle switch. And the only thing that they see on this toggle switch is the killing of another human being in the most egregious ways. See? People, you need to wake up. Our moral decline has sunk so low that now they can say and do, and now they're thinking about taking our guns. Oh, and then I know you have the extremists on the other end saying that, you know, they sound like terrorists talking about we got to fight the government because if they take our guns, they've taken our right and all of that. And they're partially right. They're partially right. I'll give it to them. It's a domino effect. You know, they do this, they're going to take other rights, and then they're going to have it like, well, the American population is so dumbed down that we've got to think for them. And you know what? These people that meet in these corners and have these meetings about how they're going to manipulate the population, they've got to be laughing hysterically about how easy the American people have bent over and taking this without any Vaseline. I mean, I'm sorry. I have to make it graphic like that because that's what we've done. But then when somebody comes in with a bunch of SWAT people dressed in black and confiscate your computers and see where you've been surfing the net and see where you looked at a couple of nasty booties or something like that, they're going to say, see, you're a terrorist and a child molester. My God. And then you're going to be standing up there, man, do whatever you got to do, man, please. Do whatever you got to do. You running everything, you got the power, you can go on to Afghanistan and you can wipe out a whole country over there. You can decimate entire populations, okay, making deals with their crooked political leaders. I'm telling you, the people that we have in government, man, this stuff is wickedness and evil. And then where the tie-in of religion comes in this, man, because on my website, and I'm not playing, I'm going to tell you about it now, on my website, but you won't go there. You don't want to go there. You don't want to see it. You just stay on my website. Why do I want to go to johnecoleman.org? Because you want to scroll down the page. That's what you want to do. You want to scroll down the page. And after you scroll down the page, you're going to come to, wait, let me find it, because I know I didn't take it off. I know, right under the Mary Factor. I have the three sermons of the Mary Factor there. Then right under that, there's a letter to Pastor John. And it says, too bad so few people know about John MacArthur has now formed the Master's Institute of Public Issues that shapes U.S. policy. You need to go and read Bob Johnson's pages and get serious about what you're reading. And then you need to ask yourself, what is the key of the tie-in of the connection with the John MacArthur to a group of governmental policies like this? What is the church doing apprehending to governmental policies when most of these governments that are run by men are wicked and evil? See, we don't even want to answer that, do we? But yet and still, everybody's listening to Grace to You. I haven't listened to the radio program in so long. The only one that I listen to is the late J. Vernon McGee, Through the Bible. That's the only ones I listen to. Man, I got another clip on my website, a video clip. There's a person in Florida, I think they were, when they took a picture of John MacArthur talking smack in this conference. I have those clips up on my website. It's right there for people to look at. For people to look at and to check out on their own time and to ask some questions about that. What is this all about? What is he talking about? What is he trying to say? What do you think he's trying to say? Here's a man that doesn't even know when he was born again, but yet and still we're quoting him, playing this. What's wrong with the church? I mean, no, not it. I'll never forget. I was on the campus of Grace Community Church, and it's right next to the Bob Johnson clip on my webpage, right next to the two little attachments. There is a video clip where me saying my comments on Obama, and then it says the turning point in ministry. And an unbelievable comment by John MacArthur Jr. Yeah, that's the one that I want you to listen to. And as you listen to that, you will find beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am not out of my mind, that I have been telling you the truth for weeks, for months, for years. And if it comes down to, and you know what, since a lot of you believed in the nonsensical calendar that spoke about the end of the world, the age is blowing up. Have you ever read your Bible where it says that no man knoweth the day or the hour? No man knoweth it except God alone. And so somebody's trying to look at the end of the world. Don't worry, it's coming when you least expect it. I know the end of my world may come when somebody puts a bullet in my head and, yeah, all right, or puts a smart bomb down my chimney. That's okay. But everybody's going to suffer the end of the world. Everybody's end of the world is coming, but it's not yet. Sin hasn't run its full course. And religion is one of the biggest threats to try to hold people to a particular standard. If they're not going to be held to a particular standard, hey, the threat of violence is not going to hold them to it. There's a lot of people that's going to be trying to fight to preserve their lives and to preserve their thesis and their heritage and all of that. The only thing that I can tell you is that in these lean days that we have set ahead of us, that you would find a solace in Christ Jesus, our Lord. that you will find a place where you can meet him in your mind, that he can meet you right in that place and comfortably ease your troubled mind. What I'm thinking about doing is putting a little splash water on my car today and going over to putting my bike rack on back of my car, and I'm going riding my bike today. It's such a nice day, and go and take me some fresh mineral water with me and just ride around and enjoy the day and talk with people and try to appreciate my afternoon. That's what I think I'm going to do today. And thank God for that. Get my mind away from all this foolishness. But please, people, don't let them make this become a police state. Because once it becomes a police state and the police turns wicked, because that group has got to eat too. They got to feed theirs. And some people would do anything to feed their family. Anything. Remember, when you have no morals, then you open yourself up to everything. And I'm telling you, Buena Vista and the other people that made that movie and the Disney camp and all that, man, these people have lowered the standard down to a degree. I couldn't believe that. Man, the Halloween, I forget the name of that movie. I forget what it was. I have to ask T what it was. But, it was terrible. Oh, I'll find the name of it before I put this webcast up. And so I'll put a picture of that demon up there. I saw that movie for the first time yesterday. And I'm looking at that. And instead of me being entertained, I said, no, they didn't. That's what I said when I watched that movie. I said, no, they didn't. And a voice deep down on the inside of me said, yes, they did. Went to sleep. I was preaching hard in 1993. Oh, yeah. But I never saw that. And the young people told me at my house last night. Let me tell you this. He said every kid that was born around that time and after that time, John, has seen this movie, know this movie, and has relished in this movie. I said what this movie did was pointed out that demons are far more superior than good spirits that help people, and they made a joke out of Christmas and a joke out of what the intention was done for children. And I said, and this was a satanic ploy done by a stage producer who made a stage show and then put it in cartoon form for the children and tried to make a joke out of it. That's a satanic ploy, people. And you know what? Those of you that bit into that and allowed that to take place, took your children to see the movie, paid the money, you're just as responsible for your children being lost to Satan as an agent from the dark side itself. Just want to leave that on you. And I'm going to ask my grandchildren if they know about this foul piece of film. And if they say, oh, yes, because that's the way they talk. They all talk the same way. Brainless. They aren't thinking about anything. That's what happened to our society. There you have it. Thank you for joining me for another webcast. It's Saturday, the, what is it? 22nd or the 23rd? No, it's the 20 what? What is it? It's the 22nd. Yes. 3 more days before Christmas. Well, I'd like you to listen to the 12-part breakdown of John 3:16 is a good gift, right? Got it on my website. Got a lot of stuff. I want to share with you the Mary Factor. Again, that's my Christmas sermon this year. That's why I got it up there. And I want you to take some time to listen to it, all right? It's important that you listen to the Mary Factor. It's a great little movie, and
said you're going to name him Jesus.
Listen.
Because I got some significance in that name.
Say it, preacher.
Even in the Christian church today, I think we've lost our gabuzo.
Yes, we have.
We don't know what to name our children.
Right.
And as you look at verse 32, again, we're going to see three other things. Never before had Mary heard such news concerning something that she was to be a vital part of. This woman was going to be a vital part of something, and let's look at it in three ways that she was a vital part of it. Now, you ladies need to understand, and some of you guys too,
listen,
that God wants you to be a vital part of history on the planet. Your Christianity is not just a passing fantasy. That's why you came to church on Christmas. Because you say, hey, Lord, talk to me about this divine birth. The first thing, this son that you bear, God says, will be great. Now let's go to a scripture and back this up. Micah chapter 5, verse 4. Let's go to...
That's what you get when you listen to the Mary factor. It's not just a born in a manger sermon. It takes you way back. So I want you to listen to that and pick up a sense of what the birth of Jesus was like on this planet. I've had this sermon up for a while, and I'm going to leave it up there for the whole month. That's going to be the video sermon that you can watch. And if you haven't watched it, watch it. If you've watched it once, watch it again. Share it with your friends. It's important that you do that. The Mary Factor is a very important Christmas sermon for you to watch, and please just watch it and see what I'm saying. We have to stick with the reality of human history, or we're going to let the fakers remake it up for us. See, that's what they like to do. They like to make up reality and try to share with you, well, this is what reality is. Whereas, in essence, that is not reality at all. It's really sad the way they do it. And then they try to make out like people like me are not giving you reality, because it's so far gone in ancient history of what reality was. See, and does reality change? A lot of people are saying there's so many people on the planet now, John, nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about the things that you make up about this Mary factor and about this Christmas event and about that. No, no, no. There's still millions upon millions of people on this planet that believes in the historical birth of Christ. Maybe they don't get caught up in all of the hoorah about Christmas, and that's good. But they do believe that something happened when Jesus was born on the planet. It was about 2,000 years ago, but we still have the historical context written and believed in the hearts of men. That's what counts. Thank you for coming to my website, and thank you for listening to me ramble on and on and on. You know I have a tendency to do that. And I'll try to share with you real soon again some things that God has placed upon my mind to share with you. Thank you for coming by my website. And if I don't get a chance to tell you this, may you have a joyful, joyful Christmas. Very joyful Christmas. Thank you for all of you that have sent gifts my way and love my way, cakes and pies and candies and a little change. Thank you so much from the depths of my heart. This is a wonderful Christmas for me because I know you. Whatever you do, you stay in the world.